It's absolutely so simple, I'm just about ashamed to try to preach it, to be honest with you. Especially when you got a doctor's degree hanging back. Hanging back there on the wall, you know. When you're a doctor, you're supposed to be able to expound the Word of God. All right, I want you to turn your Bible tonight to the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. 1 John, chapter number 1. That's a way over in the back of the Bible. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. I want to read the first two verses. The Bible said there, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. I want to thank God for the credibility of the King James translators that put verse 2 inside those bracket marks. That indicates that was put there for more or less commentary's sake. And the translators put that there. They incorporated that into the Bible. But it's no less. It is no less, ladies and gentlemen, as God breathed as any of the other.
Amen.
It's not a mistake in the Bible. All right, let's bow to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege we have to be in church tonight. I pray that you'll help us now change our hearts and our lives, Lord. It'll bring glory and honor to Thee. We do thank you for the privilege to be here. I pray you'll bless every soul. I ask you tonight, Lord, if there's any amongst us lost, tonight be the night they come to Christ and get saved. You'd stir our hearts for revival. I pray for the power of God, divine help. I pray for wisdom, Lord. I pray for liberty in the house of God and for your divine presence and your power in this service to be manifest to every living soul. And Lord, help us, I pray, to lift our voices and to give praise and adoration to Him that loved us and died for us and rose again for our justification. Again, give us grace and liberty. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As I look at these first couple of verses here in 1 John, what really captures my attention in these first two verses is their contrast to what is written in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. There in the Gospel, John immediately establishes the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But here in 1 John, the emphasis is placed upon His humanity. He says there that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and then he said, our hands have handled of the Word of life.
Amen.
I believe that ever so often, we view Jesus as God, and rightly so. I want to make that clear tonight, that what I'm preaching on, I do not intend to take away anything from the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, He was, and He is, and He shall ever be very God.
Amen.
He is God. There is absolutely no question about that.
Amen.
And I have no intention of taking away from His deity. But I think so often that you and I as God's children, we view Him as God. And oftentimes, in doing so, we fail to remember that he was also 100% man. And if we view him only as God, listen carefully now, we view him only as God, he may appear to be somewhat, view him as God, he appears to be somewhat difficult for you and I to approach to. I remember when I went to Tabernacle, and I first met Dr. Harold Seitler. And I saw him as not just a man, but God's man. And not just God's man, but God's holy man. And when I compared myself to Dr. Seitler, there was a great chasm, it seemed, between he and I that I found it difficult to span. I found it real difficult, in fact, to approach him and to talk to him about matters that I thought necessary. And I think sometimes when we fail to view the Lord in his humanity and view him only in his deity, that we find him very hard to approach to. And we find him hard to approach to. Difficult to approach, or even impossible to speak to, or that there is no way we could ever be like he is. I want to stop reading there just for a minute and reiterate on that. And instead of reading it, I want to tell it to you. I think when we view God, Jesus as God, so many times we find him difficult to approach even in prayer. A mortal like you and I, to speak to a thrice holy God, it seems somewhat difficult to me. And then even to approach him and to speak to him, we find that difficult. But then when we see in the Bible that we are to be conformed to his image and be like him, I don't know about you, but that sometimes boggles my mind. And it seems like an impossible thing for you and I that are born of a woman, we're flesh and we're bone, to be conformed to the image of God, to someone who always has been. Never was a time when he was not. We're not talking about some creature, we're talking about the great Creator. We're talking about the ruler of the universe. We're talking about the sovereign of all the universes. We're talking about he that spoke, and everything that you and I eyes behold are here because of the word of his mouth, and then they're upheld by his power. And as our young lady sang from time to time, nothing ever comes our way that it does not come through the hands of God. Now, I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God, the rain in Jakarta did not take God by surprise. He causes it to rain upon the just and upon the unjust. And God knows the hearts of men. And there are times when God will bring judgment upon heathen because they have refused to hear the Word of God. And sometimes God will bring judgment upon Christians because they neglect to hear the warnings of God. We're not dealing with someone on our level. We're dealing with God Almighty when we view him in his deity. But may I say, when we look at him as man, he is 100% man. And if I keep in my mind and my heart, when I go to him in prayer, that I'm not only going there to pray to God, but I'm going there to pray to the God-man. Amen. And the fact that he was in all points tempted, and I'll repeat this, in all points tempted like you and I were, and yet he was without sin. Amen. And when I realize that He is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, I find it much easier to approach unto Him. And I'm afraid that most Baptists today have forgotten the doctrine of the humanity of Christ. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, He came into the world and was born of a woman. Amen. Of the seed of David. Made under the law to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. Oh, yes, and when the fullness of time was come, Mary brought forth that wonderful, wonderful Son whose name was Jesus, who should deliver His people from their sins. And don't ask me about the incarnation. It is above me and beyond me. But I do understand that God, that great Creator, somewhere, somehow or another, entered into the womb of a woman, was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and was conceived in her womb, and she brought forth a son, and the Bible said He was a man-child. Come on in the house and help me. Now I'm telling you, if you would look at Jesus, as man, as a God-man, I believe we can get a whole lot more done in our Christian life. Amen. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren." Come on now. "That He might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people." Thank God it behooved Him to be made like His brethren. And if you've ever read through the book of Psalms, and I just thought of it up here and jotted it down, I don't even know the real psalm, the psalm that it's in. But there is a psalm that talks about, or maybe in the Proverbs, about His delight being with the sons of men. Even before the foundation of the world, the Bible said that His delight was with the sons of men. I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God, that it's been in the mind of God and in the heart of God for since before the creation of the world, ladies and gentlemen, that He might be made like men, that He might redeem men from under the law. That is being made a man, that He might draw nigh to you and us and give us the blessed privilege, like the Bible said, that we've heard Him, we've seen Him, and we have handled the blessed word of life. And that life was manifest in the flesh. And this is that eternal life that the Bible said that He speaks of. Now, I just wrote down some few little old things here that identify Him. And I just wrote it down on my own. It's not anything to brag about. But I just wrote down some things to try to establish in your heart the fact that Jesus was a man. And if I can say it this way, as reverently as I know how, a man of like passions as we are.
Amen.
Now, some of you don't believe that.
Amen.
But I want to show you something. Three or four things very quickly. When old Lazarus died, and Jesus got word from those messengers from Mary and Martha that He whom thou lovest is dead. And of course, you know, Jesus tarried a couple of days and He made His journey to Bethany.
Amen.
And when He got there, Martha came out to meet Him first. And afterwards, Mary came out to meet Him. And the shortest verse in all the Bible, when the Lord stood there and looked round about on that crowd, and saw the sorrow and the grief and the heartache that was in their heart. Hey, I said He is a faithful high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Amen.
And when He looked upon Mary and Martha and that crowd around them and their heart full of sorrow and full of grief. The Bible said in the smallest verse in all the Bible, can you believe this now? Get a hold of this. The Bible said Jesus wept. I've never read where God wept. But I'm here to tell you we're seeing the humanity of Christ.
Amen.
When the Bible said that He stood there and looked upon them and He wept.
Amen.
That is, He wept over the cares of other people.
Amen.
He had concern and thought for other people. May I say to you that we've got a man tonight at the right hand of God who is a perfect man, ladies and gentlemen, that is capable of weeping. And by the way, He did not try to cover up His tears.
Amen.
He didn't try to run off and hide and make people believe that He's some macho man. There in front of all the Jews and all the Pharisees and all that family, the Bible said that Jesus wept. I personally believe that there were actual tears that came out of His eyes and ran down His cheeks. I'm going to tell you why. He was God, but He was also 100% man. And being man, He was able to sympathize with those that had their hearts full of sorrow and grief.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad I've got one tonight that I can approach.
Amen.
That wept over the cares of other people. He was concerned about them. I wrote this down and I'll just hit it and run on. Jesus had emotions.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Jesus had emotions.
Amen.
He had the ability to weep over the concerns of other people.
Right.
Over their heartache. Over their grief. Oh my, I'm glad I've got somebody like that. That at the right hand of God that I can approach tonight. That I know understands me. When my heart is overwhelmed and when my heart is full of sorrow. And when I'm in trouble and I'm having problems and it seems nobody else cares. Thank God there is one at the right hand of God that cares about us and is able to weep, ladies and gentlemen, over the problems that we're having.
Amen.
You realize that I believe Jesus may be in heaven right now weeping over some of our problems right here in this church.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said He can't do it. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man.
Amen.
The man, Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The man, Christ Jesus. Thank God there is a perfect man at the right hand of God.
Amen.
And He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. In His humanity, He wept, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Tells me He had emotions. Somebody said, well, you oughtn't to show your emotions. He did His.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Jesus wept. The point I want you to understand, He is weeping over some of you tonight.
Amen.
Oh, He don't do that. If He done it on earth, what makes you think He won't do it in heaven? If His heart broke on earth, what makes you think it won't break in heaven? Hey, He knows your heart tonight. You know why He knows it? Because He's flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. He became a man of like passions as you and I are. That's why you and I can go to a funeral home and have a family that we love dearly that's lost a loved one and see their grief and we can stand there and put our arms around them and weep with them. Hey, it's because we understand what they're going through at that time. Oh, thank God, I'm glad that Jesus not only was God, but ladies and gentlemen, He was 100% man. I'm telling you, there's one standing alongside tonight whose heart is touched with our sorrow and touched with our grief and He's able to enter in. to our problems that we're having. Anybody listening? Now listen carefully. He not only wept over the cares of others, but he wept over the city that he loved. The Bible said in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem in Luke 19:41, said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, if thou hadst known, you may not have known back then, but if you only understood now, he said, the peace that is yours, or something to that degree, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You know what I'm thinking tonight? Come on, everybody, look right up here at me. I wonder, when was the last time you wept over Madisonville?
Amen.
I believe we've got one at the right hand of God that looks down upon the sin of this miserable, best town on earth. And hey, and he loves the people, but he hates their sin.
Amen.
And he might very well be weeping over Madisonville right now.
Amen.
Can't nobody in here say Madisonville hadn't had their day.
Amen.
At least in this thy day.
Amen.
They've had their opportunity, friend.
Right.
Amen. I could name you that many people on, and more than that on my hands and toes, that used to be members of Madisonville Baptist Temple when she got her start 30 years ago, that's out in the world and living like the devil in hell itself now. They've had their opportunity in this their day. And I'm telling you, I believe that there is a man at the right hand of God that is weeping, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yes, he is weeping over this city and wondering why they have not repented and turned to God in sackcloth and ashes a long time ago. I've never in my life heard. They say that dude out in Missouri that had those two boys and held them captive, one of them for 4 years, they're charging him on 70 counts of sodomy. Now I'm going to tell you, a man that would desire a little 12 or 13 year old boy is sick. He don't need a trial. He needs shot.
Amen.
Come on in the house. I wonder if he's weeping over New Orleans. Somebody said, oh, God, judge him. But I believe before the judgment hammer ever fell, if he wept over Jerusalem, surely to goodness he's weeping over the cities of America tonight and the sin that's involved in America.
Right.
Praise God, they're going to have Sodomite Sunday down there. Sodomite March until Katrina spoiled their little sick plans.
Right.
Wonder why Florida's being cracked with all the storms and all the natural disasters around the world. Earthquakes. Floods.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, God don't love anybody. Oh, yes, God does. And God's weeping. Hey, He knows their hearts and He knows them.
Amen.
He's made like them. He was tempted like they are, and yet he never did sin. I'm going to show you the difference of that in just a minute. I'm going to show you something on that. God showed me last night. I'm going to show you something on that verse. You reckon he's weeping over Madisonville? You reckon he's weeping over you? You reckon he's weeping over your family? You reckon he's weeping over this church? I can't help but to believe he looks on this church and weeps. It's a, I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say to you, and hear it well. It's not just Brother Hall that wants you to have victory in your life, and it's not just Brother Hall that wants you to have joy in your life, and it's not just Brother Hall that wants you to be saved. God wants you to have those things. The man Christ Jesus wants you to have those things. It just so happens that I am his mouthpiece here in Island Ford Baptist Church, and he tries to get himself and his way across to you through me.
Amen.
God help me, Brother Steve, to yield myself the best way I know how.
Wait now.
It's not, Brother Hall. I'm one of you.
Right.
I've never overcome every temptation.
Amen.
I wasn't crucified. I didn't die for you. I didn't shed my blood for you. But there was a man that did, a God man that did.
Amen.
And it's him that wants you to be right.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand me. I want you to be right also.
Amen.
I want me to be right. But I'm glad that when I'm wrong, I've got somebody that knows how I feel when I'm wrong.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
He not only wept over the cares of the people, but he wept over the city as well. Now I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. He also wept over their carelessness. Somebody said, "What do you mean?" He said, the things which belong unto thy peace. Hadst thou known. Hadst thou known the things which belong unto thy peace. In other words, he said, hey, you had an opportunity and you were so careless. With what? You were so careless. You threw her all down the drain. Oh, I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
He looked at Jerusalem in another place, in another one of the texts in the same, and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest the saints, how oft will I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not."
Amen.
Now, I'm here to tell you, he not only weeps over the cares of others, and not only weeps over the cities that have gone wicked, but friend, he weeps over the carelessness of people.
That's right. Amen.
People that have had opportunities.
Yes, sir.
And hey, America's had more opportunities than any nation under God's earth.
That's right.
Can I share this with you? Me and Brother Steve hashed this out today. You remember Sunday when I was talking about that verse of Scripture got me? When I said, they who were sometimes far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to tell you what, man. Brother Steve got back there and got talking about that. And he said, you know something? I was going to say it and forgot to say it. He said, one of them writers I was reading after said that Israel camped. Oh, it was yesterday we were talking about that. Said Israel camped. And when they camped, every tribe had a certain place around the tabernacle. Well, the Gentiles were all out here.
Right.
The Gentiles were out here. In other words, the Jews were in here. That's where the Shekinah glory was at. That's where the altar was at. They were nigh.
Right.
But those Gentiles were outside of the camp. They were not nigh at all. They were outside the camp and shut out.
Right.
But get a hold of this. When Brother Steve told me that, you know the verse of Scripture that came to my mind? The Bible said he suffered. Hey! Without the camp.
Yes.
Praise God, that's why his blood has brought us nigh. Son, we were far off from God, but he suffered outside the camp. Amen. Out there where the Gentiles are. Bless his holy name. I was going to hell, but the God man died without the camp and made me nigh by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. If that wouldn't make a dead man get heavy, I don't know what would. I was shut out, shut out, shut out. And when I could not get into where he was, woo, he came out to where I was. Without the camp. And died without the camp. So you and I that are Gentiles could be brought. Y'all on this side, get a hold of that now. You want me to give you a rerun? You want me to rewind and start over?
Rewind.
That may not do nothing for you, but that's one of the greatest Bible truths that I've been helped with, friend, in a long time, buddy. And I'm telling you, cranks my goozle.
Yes,
yes sir. We talk about he came to me. Praise God, I'm glad he came to me personally. But I'm glad he came to me outside the camp. Hallelujah to God. I couldn't get in there. The high priest wouldn't let me. The Jew wouldn't let me. But when he died outside the camp, there wasn't a thing they could do about it. Hallelujah to God. And they're so blinded to him dying without the camp that blindness in part has happened to Israel. That you and I might be grafted in. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad. Thank God of the wild olive branch. I'm grafted in. Praise God.
Amen.
That true branch.
Amen.
Saved, saved, saved.
Amen.
Amen. I'm happy as a go. Praise this blessed name. I'd like to throw this pulpit through the back wall back there. I won't have to do that. There's already a window there. Praise God. We'll put her through it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, listen carefully. Not only did he wept, but you know he grew weary. He got tired, folks.
Amen.
When he went down to Samaria in John chapter number 4, the Bible said there in John chapter number 4 and verse 6, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. It was noontime. It's time to eat. He just kind of sat down on that well. I believe he just walked over to that well. The best I can tell you, I believe he just walked over to that well, kind of sat down on it just like that. And that Samaritan woman came. And Jesus said, give me a drink. He said, how is it you being a Jew ask me that's a Samaritan?
Amen.
Give you a drink. He said, lady, if you knew who it was that spoke to you,
amen.
Said, you and the gift of God, you would have asked me how to give unto you living water.
Amen.
She said, now how in the world are you going to give me that living water? The well is deep and you have none to draw. He said, besides that, are you greater than our father Jacob that dug this well? Boy, Jesus began to preach to that woman the gospel.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, he sat there on that. Here's the point I want to make. He sat there on that well, weary. He was a man.
Amen.
His body was tired. Somebody said, oh, I get so tired. I just can't come to church. I don't believe Jesus ever got so tired he couldn't go to the house of God.
Amen.
He never got sick in his life, far as I know. But his body did get tired.
Amen.
Amen. But here's the point I want to make. He never got so tired that he couldn't witness to that Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm too tired to try to tell anybody about God. Jesus never got that tired.
Yeah. Amen.
His body grew weak and his body grew weary and his body got tired. But he never was too tired to witness to that woman. And I'm going to tell you, you know the rest of it. He said, go get your husband. She said, I have none. He said, you've set her well. He said, you've had five, and the fellow you're shacking up with is not your husband.
Amen.
And son, about that time the disciples came, she flew back into town and come running in town, said, come and see a man, told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? Is this not the Christ? Is this not he that was to come? All the city come out.
Amen.
And Jesus talked to them, and they said, hey! Now we believe you, not because of her testimony, but because we've heard with our own ears. Amen. I'm going to tell you what telling somebody about Christ will do. It might get somebody else into the house of God. Amen. That's right. It not only got her in, it got somebody else in.
Amen.
I said, well, it don't do no good to go tell nobody. They ain't going to believe me. They didn't believe her either. But when they heard him,
amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm going to be honest. When I heard it, when I heard a man talking about how wonderful he was, I was a little skeptical. But I'm going to tell you, when he began to tell me himself how wonderful he was, all that skepticism left, and I'm going to tell you, it left reality in my heart. Praise God, he's the best thing ever happened to me, this old boy. I was on my way of going to hell without God, without hope. I'm telling you, my family was ruined, my life was a mess. But one day, Jesus passed by where this old boy was at. Hallelujah to God. And when I couldn't get to him, he come to where I was and lifted me out of sin. Amen.
Amen.
Best thing ever happened to me.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, stay with me. He not only wept, he not only grew weary, but he got hungry. He knows what it means when these two fellas in here miss lunch. In the wilderness temptation, when he has fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry.
That's right.
Amen. He's a man.
Amen.
Because he's a God man, he is approachable by you and I. Amen. And he's approachable and can be talked to and can be touched and handled. Amen, because he is a God man.
Yes.
Now, let's hold her down and hold on just a minute. He became thirsty.
Right.
And they crucified him.
Yes, sir.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things
Amen.
Were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith. Thirst.
Amen.
And they gave him vinegar.
Amen.
And gall. And he wouldn't have it.
Amen.
Don't that do something to your heart to know that the God man got thirsty? That we may never have to thirst again.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to say to you, bless his wonderful name.
Sir,
he satisfied my life. You realize that he that was thirsty will pour water on the thirsty.
Yes.
You realize he that was thirsty brought streams out of the desert.
Yes.
Praise God. And floods, he brought water out of the rock. Even floods the water out of the rock.
Yes, sir.
He was the rock. And the rock got thirsty. Now, I've often wondered why he could have got thirsty when he was the rock that had the water in it. I'm going to tell you why. So he could experience what you and I are going through.
Right.
That's the only answer. And he said, I thirst. Now, I've got three or four verses of scripture I want to read, and I'm done. Now listen carefully. 2 Timothy 2:5, and I've already quoted this. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:11-12. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Jesus, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called their brethren.
Amen.
Woo! Not ashamed to be called their brethren. When he looks down here and God says something, he says, oh yeah, it's old Brother Hall. Somebody said, I don't believe he does that. Oh yes, he does. That's Brother Jerome down there, he said. Y'all don't believe that, do you? He's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. He said, I'm going down and tell my brethren about God. About the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a spell. Somebody, will somebody give letting me borrow your legs? Praise God. I'd like to have a running fit. Amen. That's right. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Guess what? In the midst of the church will I pray, sing praise unto thee. Praise God. That tells me Jesus is walking around through these hallways and down these pews in this church, and he is singing praises unto God to the Father and declaring unto him, these are my brethren. I'm going to sing praise unto you because these are my brethren. They were yours, but thou gavest them unto me, and now they're mine. And you, and oh, woo! Glory to God. Amen. 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 He's in here singing tonight. Do you hear him singing to your heart? Sweet amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Do you hear him singing to your soul in here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God, I feel like a novice, sis. You feel sick, don't you? Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. But I know at the present time that ain't doing a whole lot for you, is it? But he knows how you feel.
Amen.
You know why I know how they feel? Well, he knows that. The Bible said he healeth all our diseases.
Amen.
One of these days ain't going to be no sickness, friend.
Right.
Going to be no disease. Ain't going to be no flu.
Amen.
No diarrhea. I don't even know if it's going to be grease in heaven. I love him. I'm just carrying on with him. I wonder how I looked that morning when I come in here with mine all waxed back. Little Megan walked up to me and she said, Brother Hall, I don't like your hair. I'm going to tell you, the next service, it was combed back just like you see it right now. Amen. I'd rather see his like that than I would off, you know. I'm just carrying on a little bit. I'm so happy I could jump a picket fence, Brother Joe.
Amen. Where's that?
I know. Let's go find one.
Amen.
What if I get my britches leg hung on it?
We'll get you out of there.
Now, stay right with me. Got a couple more verses, and I'm done. I believe this is the one I wanted to mention. Hebrews 4:14-15, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, that's his earthly name.
Amen.
His name shall be called Jesus. He always was Christ.
Amen.
But his name shall be called Jesus.
Amen.
Deliverer, Savior, that's his name. That Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Get this now. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you something. Can anybody see anything in there besides Jesus? Let me read it again. Listen carefully. I want you to tell me something in this verse besides the name Jesus that points to his humanity. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sins. Anybody see anything at all in there besides the word Jesus that points to his humanity? I'd never seen it before in my life till last night. Y'all want a little nugget? He was in all points tempted like you are, yet without sin. Somebody said, how does that point to his humanity? Any man is tempted.
That's right.
Let him not say, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted. Excuse me. Neither tempteth he any man. But he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But God cannot be tempted. Got to be talking about his humanity.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I'm going to give you this last verse. I've read it a million times, and so have you. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, right here is probably one of the greatest nuggets I've had since that outside the camp. How many of y'all ever heard me say, you've heard other preachers say, he died for me and he died as me?
Amen.
How'd he do that? He's God-man. Listen carefully. As God, he died for me. But as man, he died as me.
Amen.
You can get a hold of that, you put your head through a wall. I've heard men say it and I believed it, but I never knew how it was. Now I know. As God, he died for us. As man, he died as us.
Amen.
Praise God, Miss Megan. Heaven bound, as that little truck says, with the hammer down. One of these young boys in here to drive it for me. They know how to race. I get a little sketchy when I get up there. About when I get down 125, 30 miles an hour, I get a little worried.
Amen.
And Miss Hall's petrified. What about that God man?
Amen.
The humanity of Christ. John said in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. But now in 1 John he said, from the beginning. Not talking about, Gospel of John is talking about the beginning of creation. 1 John is talking about the beginning of his earthly life. His ministry. We saw him. We handled him. He walked into that upper room and said, here, Thomas. You know why they were glad when they saw those prints in his hands and in his side? The Bible said then were the disciples glad. They knew that they had a completed redemption.
Amen.
Oh, yes, they knew he got up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he got up one of these days. If we have to go that way, we're going to get up.
Amen. Amen.
And let's all stand up. Maybe the Lord's touched your heart. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to tarry long. Miss Aldi's talked to the ladies. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good liberty, the good power, the good help, good unction tonight, Lord, the good spirit in the house of God, and your people. I pray, Father, that you'll bless now the invitation. Do a good work on my heart. Any others that need your divine help, I pray they'll open up their heart to you as well. And Father, pray you'll save sinners. In Jesus' name, amen.